Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Tomorrow night, we will be doing election night special coverage for the Lamont Lieberman primary. I'll be hosting beginning at 8 o'clock on our AM station, AM 820 WNYC. Now, for those of you who can't get AM 820 or can't get it at night, we'll also have this live on our website at WNYC.org, and it'll be on most of the public radio stations in Connecticut, plus Albany Public Radio. So there's a lot of interest, obviously, in this race with national implications. That's election night special coverage for the Lieberman-Lamont Senate primary tomorrow night beginning at 8 on AM 820 and WNYC.org. So think about real estate with waterfront views, wide cobbled streets, art galleries and restaurants nearby. Sounds like a glitzy neighborhood, right? A very au courant location. Well, the neighborhood I'm speaking of is Red Hook. And whether or not Red Hook is the next big thing in New York is under some dispute. Maybe it's just the next big thing in media hype. Joining me this morning to talk about whether Red Hook, Brooklyn is red hot or not are Gabriel Cohen, author of the novel Red Hook, published by St. Martin's Press, coordinator of the Sundays at Sunny's, a reading series, and contributing writer for Time Out New York. He just wrote an article for Time Out lauding the neighborhood. And Bob Guskin, veteran urban writer, Brooklyn editor of the real estate website Curbed, and creator of the Brooklyn blog Gowanus Lounge, who thinks Red Hook isn't so trendy yet. Gabriel, Bob, welcome to WNYC. Hey there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we focused on urban developments and disputes in urban development in the past on this show, but let's start by looking at this area culturally. Bob, how does Red Hook differ from other neighborhoods in the city or in Brooklyn?
Well, I think first of all, Brian, the whole question of Red Hook's hotness or not.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's really a media construct, and let's just say that Red Hook is warm now.
What does that mean? Make that concrete for me.
Well, it's a neighborhood that is in the process of becoming. It's in a transitional phase right now. There's a lot of development going on. There are a lot of proposals on the table, some of which are not some of which do not bode well for the neighborhood's future. And the fact that it's not necessarily a red-hot neighborhood mm-hmm. is a good thing, mm-hmm. ultimately, for Red Hook if the development takes place at a somewhat slower pace. What Red Hook becomes, I think, really remains to be seen.
Gabriel, hot or not?
I think maybe the issue is really whether it's a good thing if it becomes hot or not. And I think that we've seen other neighborhoods in Brooklyn, like where I used to live, Smith Street, that suddenly became this really hipster, hot neighborhood. And it's not necessarily a good thing if Red Hook becomes hot because of the way that the development is happening, the way it's coming to Red Hook. And I was just thinking, I was in the subway coming here this morning, and I saw this Con Ed ad, and it said, "As big business grows, we're planning for colossal business." And I think that really applies to Red Hook because the neighborhood is great now. There's all sorts of little homegrown things that are happening that are transforming that neighborhood. And the change that's coming is not coming out of that local organic thing. It's coming out of outside developers, really powerful commercial interests that are saying, we're going to impose things on Red Hook. We've got the IKEA, you've got the Fairway, you've got the cruise ship terminal. These are all things that are not coming out of the neighborhood.
Right. A lot of people who aren't from Red Hook hear about the neighborhood in the news because of the disputes over the big box stores.
Right.
And that's the first thing maybe they hear about it. But you mentioned living on Smith Street. You mentioned seeing this thing on the subway. I mean, one of the things about Red Hook is that no subway goes there. You can take the train to Smith and 9th Street. You can't take the train to Red Hook. How much is that going to curb its development, Bob?
Oh, I think it's going to curb its development a lot. Red Hook will never take off as a hot development site without public transportation. Ultimately, I think the ultimate solution in Red Hook...
There is public. One, I mean, you can take the B61. There's another bus.
I'm sorry, Brian. There are two bus lines that are sort of sporadic in nature. But ultimately, you know, it's a neighborhood that begs for a light rail solution, running down Van Brunt Street from the waterfront to the subway. And I think as more residential housing goes in and as the retail strip on Van Brunt Street develops more, there's going to be demand for that, and ultimately there will be a public investment in it. But that's something where you're looking at a 10 to 15 year time frame. You don't snap your fingers and have light rail.
So let's open the phones for people from Red Hook. We have at least two questions on the table. One is, how fast is Red Hook becoming a quote-unquote hot neighborhood? And two, is it a good thing? And is it developing intrinsically, or is it developing in a way that's going to displace people who live there? I know somebody who feels like he's being priced out of Red Hook already, and he's got to leave. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or email brianlehrershow@wnyc.org. Gabriel, you want to talk about just real estate prices and how they're changing? You're both trying to kind of dial back on some of the media hype about it being a hot neighborhood. What's actually happening in terms of affordability?
Well, one thing that's unusual about Red Hook is there really isn't a lot of housing stock there. You have a huge housing project in the middle of the neighborhood. You have the waterfront around it, and there really aren't that many houses available. But I've just seen in the last few years an incredible boom in rental prices. I've talked to some artists who are already getting forced out. I think the developers are thinking that it really is going to be the hot new neighborhood, and the real estate brokers are following on their coattails and
saying, I hope,
and jacking up the prices.
Talk about the neighborhood for, you know, I'll bet most people who live in the five boroughs of New York City, Bob, have never been in Red Hook.
Probably.
So talk about the neighborhood. What's charming about the neighborhood? One of the people in your article, I think, is described as saying it's an acquired taste.
Yeah. I wrote a piece for the Brooklyn paper, which will actually be out this week, looking at development in the neighborhood. I love Red Hook. I think it is one of the most special places, certainly in Brooklyn, but in all of New York City. There's a great history to it. People, when you talk, everyone who lives in Red Hook talks about Red Hook Light in the sense of openness and its location on the harbor. Those things that make, you know, we're talking about developments and the direction the neighborhood goes in the future. The things that make Red Hook special are the things that are threatened with disappearing. By putting in a big box store like IKEA on the waterfront, something about which there's a lot of division of opinion in the neighborhood. New residents versus business people versus longtime residents who see it as a source of jobs and are more concerned with developing jobs at home than the aesthetics of the development.
I'll second that. I think that Red Hook is a really unique neighborhood, partially because of the waterfront. Partially because of the history. There's a lot of maritime history in Red Hook that makes it really fascinating to me. It used to be this incredibly thriving neighborhood with tens of thousands of people working on building ships, repairing ships. It's had some very hard times in the last few decades, but to me, part of the appeal of Red Hook is that it's quiet. And as far as I know, there are no chain stores. It's one of the only neighborhoods in New York that doesn't have a Starbucks every three blocks. And to me, those are things that add to the appeal of Red Hook.
Let's see. Does Fairway count as a chain store?
Okay, well, that's the end of that then.
But that's a good thing, right? Does anybody think it's bad to have Fairway in the neighborhood at this point?
I think that there are people concerned with, for instance, the traffic spinoff and the traffic that it's produced. And there have been actually some protests in the neighborhood over the last few weeks. There was a fatality. And, you know, it tells you something about Red Hook and the level of official neglect also that the neighborhood has suffered over the years from city government, that residents really have to take to the streets to ask for a stop sign or to get basic things done. Red Hook's history locally is that it's been a dumping ground kind of neighborhood. And the battles in Red Hook in the past were over major sewage treatment plants and waste transfer facilities. People who've lived in Red Hook for a long time are veterans of incredible battles against the city to stop undesirable things from going into their community.
Alex in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC.
Hi, good afternoon. A couple of quick comments. I'm an independent real estate broker born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. I love Brooklyn. I love Red Hook. I go to war to defend Brooklyn and only Brooklyn. Nonetheless.
Hang on one sec. I just have to get Bob's headphones fixed to so he can hear you. Just follow your wire, Bob, to where it's plugged in, and right by there, there's a volume control, and turn it up to your comfort level. Okay, we're good.
Thank you.
Go ahead and continue,
okay,
Alex.
Apologies. I'll just repeat who I am. My name is Alex. I'm born and raised in Brooklyn, and I'm an independent real estate broker in these neighborhoods, such as Red Hook, Bed-Stuy, Fort Greene, all these neighborhoods. A couple of my comments. Real estate brokers do not create prices in a real estate market. It's about supply and demand. So when a developer develops something, a real estate broker is not chasing their coattails and saying yes, 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 pushing these prices. It's about supply and demand.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. You don't play, because there was one of you said something about how the real estate brokers, after they hear a neighborhood is hot, try to jack up the prices like it's the broker's fault and they're doing, and that they have the power to do that. He's saying, no, I don't.
Fair enough, having been said, after a house recently sold for, I think it was $1.15 million, the press releases started coming from the brokerage firms hyping that and how the folks that had paid that $1.15 million bought the home because it was, you know, an alternative to the East Village property that they had. So yes and no.
Carolina in Red Hook, you're on WNYC. Hi, Carolina.
Hi, yeah. My name is Carolina Salguero, and I founded a nonprofit organization here, Portside, New York, themed to the waterfront and with a strong sort of orientation to the maritime industry here. And I just wanted to comment because I think not only is there media hype, there's just often generally a lot of inaccuracy, usually by what's really omitted by the description. So at Portside, we founded this institution, created programs to basically acknowledge the fact that it was a mixed-use neighborhood with a significant working waterfront, that it isn't all a has-been. And I just find it really interesting that the media usually discusses it in terms of residential development or something, and there are almost no housing units. I didn't have time to pull the stats out, but I remember something like 281 owner-occupied units and I think less than 2,000 rental units, I mean, outside of the public housing and the projects. And so it's just this really small sector that's being discussed all the time as this sort of residential thing. And in terms of whether it's going to become the next new hot thing, I think that shorthand in my mind for the usual sort of artist-driven revitalization where you get this kind of hip and edgy neighborhood, but the prices have increased so incredibly here in the past 3 years that artists are leaving, and there's really not much critical mass. I mean, there are very few artists, you know, for a public experience, a lot residentially in here, but in other words, there are very few galleries, there's very few of all the rest of that stuff that usually defines what is a hip neighborhood, but the media keeps sort of pumping this up. I mean, we have a number of great new eateries, but again, it's a very small sort of sector. So,
Gabriel, do you want to respond to Carolina?
Well, one thing I want to just touch on right there is that she was talking about the maritime industry in Red Hook, and one of the reasons why I love the neighborhood is it has a history of really kind of scrappy people and who have a kind of pioneer spirit and make things happen in the neighborhood. And a lot of those people seem to be involved with the waterfront in terms of, you know, whether they're involved with working on tugboats or doing a project like Carolina just mentioned that she's doing. And I think it seems like the city is not really supporting that kind of waterfront approach. They seem to be more interested in bringing in these big commercial developments.
Well, you started Sundays at Sunny's, which is a reading series at the bar Sunny's. And what had you hoped to achieve with that? Was it for the local residents, or did you want to have people come in from the outside area to discover the neighborhood and the bar?
It was both. My goal was, I think there are a lot of reading series around the city that have a very narrow focus, that they're writers reading for other graduates of writing MFA programs or something. And I really wanted to start a series that would appeal to a local person walking in off the street in Red Hook. Maybe they could be a tugboat captain or an artist living in the neighborhood. So I really wanted to have that local appeal.
Lewis from Red Hook, you're on WNYC.
How are you today, Brian? Great show.
Thank you. So what would you like to say?
In terms of the public housing that's over there, I've heard rumors that all this gentrification process that's going on, that the city actually wanted to try to sell a couple of the buildings into a co-op. And additionally to that, when you spoke about Fairway opening up in this passenger ship terminal, you know, it's creating jobs for the community. But then again, you know, the Fairway, they don't pay very well. And the passenger ship terminal, which is the more high-paying jobs, I don't see any people of the existing population, which is largely minority in that area, working at these places.
And Bob, you want to talk to that?
Well, those are all good points, and I think that's really why everyone needs to stop talking about is Red Hook hot and hype and
right.
get to a very
intelligent... Because it ignores the entire social context.
Oh, absolutely. There's a very complex discussion that needs to take place about where Red Hook has been, where it is today, and where it needs to go, and what organically needs to happen within the community, beyond the big box and outside solutions that are being imposed on the community. You know, Red Hook is a place where two-thirds of the population currently lives in public housing.
Two-thirds.
There are just a lot of questions that are being ignored, and there are a lot of discussions that need to take place about this community's economic and cultural future.
So if two-thirds of the public lives in, and two-thirds of the residents live in public housing, and there isn't that much other space for residential development, then that ratio is not likely to change that much. And then the question of what does Red Hook as a community need becomes a very, very different one from, you know, does it need gentrification?
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people who live in Red Hook will say the community needs basic services. The community needs more small businesses. The community needs a branch of a bank. It needs a pharmacy. It needs the most basic services.
There's no pharmacy. There's no bank branch.
There's one bank branch.
In a far-off part of the neighborhood.
So, Gabriel, take the last 15 seconds.
I just think that it's really important to note that the big changes that are happening are not really targeted towards Red Hook residents. The Fairway is sort of an exception, that it's great that people there can have, you know, can buy great food, but...
Gabriel Cohen, author of the novel Red Hook, published by St. Martin's Press, coordinator of Sundays at Sunny's, and Bob Guskin from Curbed and Time Out New York and the Brooklyn Papers. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
I was running with a Red Hook crew. Had no money, not a thing to do. I was running with a Red Hook crew. No job, no money, not a